من الله نعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Someone who thinks of death gains the ability to bear hardships. Someone in whose eyes is akhirat, meaning that if you are constantly thinking about maut and akhirat, about life hereafter, then you will see that you will be able to bear the troubles and difficulties of life. Someone who doesn't think about maut or akhirat, then the difficulties of life, the hardships in life, are unbearable for such people. If you don't have death in front of you, if you don't have your akhirat in front of you, it will be very difficult to deal with the problems of life. In life, there are problems, there are issues in life that we face and we all experience. Whether it's loss, whether it's gain, whether it's harm, whether it's fear. So many ways that we see that we are being dealt difficulties. And a person who doesn't believe in akhirat is really unable to handle this, and that's why their life will become miserable. We look at their life, it will become miserable. The reason their life is miserable is because they don't keep their focus on the akhirat. This is the first thing. The next thing is that the three dimensions of life when we speak about, when we look at the length of life, which is eternal. The length of our life is eternal. We are going to live forever. So the belief and the idea that we are going to live forever, what it does to us here is that it makes us see, you know, or feel pleasure in what we are doing. If you're going to live forever, then you know that whatever you're doing is going to be affecting you forever. Will be with you forever. And hence, the source of pleasure is by knowing that life is forever. And the belief that this life of this world is short, knowing that it's short, knowing that it's going to end, is the best way to bear the difficulties in this life. You know, when you're in a hardship, any kind of problem, whether it's debt, whether it's loss, whatever problem you're in, the fact that you know that this life is going to end and it's not going to last, meaning the life of this world is going to end, it's not going to last long, then you know from there that, you know what, it's alright, I'll bear the difficulties, I'll go through hardship. Right, I'll go there. You know that, you know, the bell is going to ring. Right, when the bell rings, you know, let's say, you know, you're in a boxing match and you're being beaten up. The fact that you know the bell is going to ring is giving you hope. You know what, I'll take whatever I can, as long as I can stay alive until the bell rings. Same thing with life. The fact that if we keep our death in eyes and knowing that this life here in this dunya is short, then whatever problems it gives us, I can bear it. Why? Because I know it's not forever. I know it's not forever. It's easy. This is psychologically, it helps us to deal with our own self. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
the height of life, knowing that we can achieve greatness and a great height, this helps us to love life and to live it to its full. Meaning the life that we have right now, why should we fall in love with it? We fall in love with it because this is an opportune chance. This is the best chance for us to make something of ourselves. Why would we use that? That's why we fall in love, knowing that we can achieve the height that we want in life. So the height of life gives us the love for this life. And a mu'min who understands the height of life, he's in love with life. You'll see him, he loves to live. He loves life. This is it. You can say, Maulana, but you know, Islam stops us from enjoying things. If Allah wanted us to enjoy life, then why does Islam make so many enjoyable things haram? Right? Why does Allah make so many enjoyable things haram? You see, all these things that the world enjoys and everyone enjoys doing, and they call it a party. Why is Islam asking us to avoid those things, abstain from those things? Why is Islam saying stop there, don't go there? Islam, if it wants us to enjoy life, should allow us to do that. You know, a lot of times we see, you know, that for example, there are many things that are haram, Allah has stopped it. You know, singing, dancing, music, clubbing, you know, drinking, bars, you know, all of these things, you know, haram, 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 check all the haram. What's all this haram, what's left in life, you know, to enjoy. And this is, a lot of times people have this idea about, you know, things that are haram. They think that it's exciting. They think that's good. I remember one time, you know, this question was asked to one, you know, because we, every year we take a group to Iran of kids. I used to go with the group long time ago. And this group, you know, they used to go to Iran. And I remember once we met one of the alims there, a very well-known alim, you know, who's over there. And so when we met him, so the youth, because all of them are youth, right? They're asked, okay, now if you want to ask any questions, go ahead, it's Q&A, right? So one of the students, high school kid from London, right, raises his hand and says, you know, I mean, there's one thing I can't understand, right? He said, what's that? He said, why is haram food easier than halal food? Why is haram food better than halal food? And the idea that when you go out and eat those steaks that are out there being made, and you know, the burgers and all that, and then you come for the Eid burgers at the masjid, it's a big difference, you know. You get the Eid burgers at the masjid and you get those burgers over there. So, you know, to them they're saying, hey, you know, why is that halal? I mean, you know, why is haram things tastier? The idea, my friends, understand this, right? And obviously, you know, I mean, the reason why Allah made it tastier, I'm not going to answer that question. But what I'm trying to say is that Allah stopped many haram things. We think this is haram. Why did Allah do that? And all of these things are enjoyable things. And Allah wants us to enjoy ourselves. Well, the reason Allah did that, my friends, and the reason why Allah did that is because when you look at these things, clubbing, if you look at drinking, if you look at dancing, if you look at music and all of these things, what these things are for people who don't like life, whose lives are miserable and they want to add flavor to it. Meaning that life itself is not enjoyable for them. Life is miserable, so they go to these places to enjoy. And they think that this is the enjoyment of life. No, that's not life. That is something that you are adding to life. You are so tired of life that you need these things. It's like escaping from your life in order to go and do these things so that you can think that your life is better or that your life is good. If your life was good, you wouldn't be even going to these places. You wouldn't need to go to these places. But the reason that you're asking for medicine is because you're sick. If you were healthy, you wouldn't be asking for medicine. Just like that, life is like that. If people, those who don't enjoy life, they are the ones who go to clubs. They are the ones who go and drink. They are the ones who go and sing and dance. These are the reasons why you do that. Right? Allah made it haram for a reason, of course, that's different. But the people in life, if they enjoyed life, they wouldn't be doing these things. They would rather enjoy life. I don't need these things to enjoy life. I like life itself. Alhamdulillah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi.
But it's difficult. Sometimes, you know, we see that, you know, hardships come, difficulties come in life. And then we see that, well, why is Allah, when Allah says that life is a game, so why is Allah playing games with us? Isn't it unfair for Allah to play games with us? The all that we are living, and then He throws something at us that's difficult for us to handle. Is that right for Allah to do that? Very easy, my friends. You know, understand, you know, what Allah is to you. Allah is not your opponent. In fact, Allah is a friend. Allah is like a good trainer. You know, a good teacher, a good trainer is someone who challenges his students and then helps them become better. They help them, you know, through challenges, through hardships. The hardships are meant for students who are good. Right? If ever you see a bad student or a new student, you see a, like for example, if you learn martial arts, a new student who comes in, they'll never make it hard on him. Take it easy on him, you know, easy punches, easy this, you know. And he's like taking it, you know, he thinks it's all good, you need to, you know, he's a black belt already. But when you get to the black belt degree, then you get really hit. And they hit you hard. If they hit you hard, it's because they know you can take it and you get better with this. Get better with it. Allah is like that good trainer who is playing with us in order to make us better. In order to make us stronger. That's why these hardships are there in life. When you look at these hardships, these are there in order that we get better and stronger. You know, I remember this Urdu philosopher by the name of Allama Iqbal. You know, he was a Shair also, and he wrote a lot of, like in the recent, like 100 years, we see that Ayatollah Khamenei also, he wrote an explanation of his work also, as a book. Right? He did an explanation of his work. So he had said one time, right, and he used to speak in like idioms. And he's, you know, he said, and I'll just translate it into English, you know, and he's speaking to the Muslim nation, but he's addressing in the sense of a bird or a falcon or an eagle that soars very high in the sky. So he tells to the bird that's going very high in the sky, because when you go that high, you know, the winds are very hard and they hit you hard also when you go high. As the higher you go, the harder the winds are, right? That's why like airplanes also, big old airplanes, are being shaken by those winds there. And I imagine a bird over there. What will happen to the bird? So he addresses the bird in the sky and says, oh falcon or oh eagle that's in the sky, don't be afraid of the winds that are opposing you. Don't be afraid of these winds that are opposing you, because these winds are there to make you fly higher, to make you go higher. Speaking to the Muslim nation, he says, don't be worried about the hardships you face. These hardships Allah is giving you in order to make you better. These difficulties that you get as a mu'min, these are difficulties that are there to make you get better. And hence, we can be patient in the face of difficulties, but we can't ask difficulties to go away. Salawat ala Muhammad wa
alayhi.
So someone who understands life, my friends, understand that life is not serious. Don't take it seriously. Life is not serious, don't take it seriously. Those who do take it seriously are mistaken. They have no clue what Islam says. Right? And they think that they know Islam, but they have no clue what Islam says. Islam, life is not to be taken seriously. When you look at hardships in life and difficulties, It's like a bad dream, you know, a nightmare. You know what happens in a nightmare, right? A monster is running after you, or you're running somewhere in the dark, and then you come to a cliff, and this monster is right behind you. And just as you are about to die or fall down the cliff, what happens? You wake up and you're scared. I'm sure you had these dreams, these nightmares. And when you are scared, what gave you relief? What's the first thing you said? Thank God it's a dream. My friend, when we die, that's what we will say. Wow, thank God it's over. This is what's going to happen. The troubles in life, Allah is going to send this and this and this and that. And then when we die, then we will be waking up. And then we will be saying, wow, that was a dream. That was just like that. Life is just like that. It's like a dream. You will wake up one day. This is what the Imams have said. An-nasu niyamun idha matu intabahu. That the people are sleeping. When they die, they will wake up. When they die, they will wake up. They'll be like, wow, man, that's a close call. I'm out of that mess. This is how we will view this life. Like, this was a mess. Now I'm so glad I'm out of there. This is, but if you understand that, then hardships here won't be hard at all. If anything happens to you, why would you be upset? Why are you upset for? It's going to go away, finish, it's nothing. This is the attitude to have if you understand what life is and how life is dealt with it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah, He has made it easy on us, my friends. At least understand one thing if you can, is the fact that if Allah has put you in this game, then He will make sure that you don't lose. If you're in this game and you know that this is a game and that your idea of this game is to win, then Allah as a coach will not let you lose. That's why He says, you know, don't worry, I'm there to catch you if you fall. You try. You try, I'm there to catch you if you fall. Yes, those who don't even regard this as a game, yes, Allah will tell them, you know. You weren't even in the game, so you go to the hell, you know, go to hell. You weren't in the game. Those who were in the game, Allah will say, okay, since you played my game, now I'll send you somewhere that's better. My friends, this is those who understood life. Those who understood that this is a game. And this is a game, Allah is saying, la'ib, this is a game. And if you don't understand that, we haven't understood what life is, we haven't understood what Islam is yet. This is the wrong concept that we have. Whenever you become Muslim, you're like stern. Anger coming out of your eyes. You know, what are you angry for? What are you angry for? What are you doing this for, man? Yeah? Why are you upset? You know, do something else. Why are you a Muslim if you're angry? The idea is that when you enter Islam, it should lead you to this idea that you are happy with life. And you're not bothered with anything that comes into your life. So Allah is there to protect you. Anytime you fall down, He's going to protect you. That's why He says, listen, when Israel will come to you, the good Israel, not the bad one. Right? When Israel will come to you, and you will have to go. So everyone will be scared when Israel comes. When Israel comes, everyone is scared. It's time to go now. So what He will do is that, listen, just because you played the game, just because you played this game and you believed, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to catch you before you say something wrong, before you fall down, before you do something by mistake. I'm going to catch you. Israel will come to you, and everyone who will face Israel, who's Malakul Maut, right? Everyone who's going to look at him will be scared of him. Of the angel of death. But then when he comes, he will tell everyone, to a mu'min, he said, nay, wait a minute, you played the game that Allah sent for you. You played the game, right? So Allah has sent a gift for you. Allah sent a gift for you. Relax. So what is that gift that Allah sent for me? Relax. You see, I'm not alone here. You see, here's Rasulullah, here's Ali, here's Fatima, here's Hassan, here's Hussein. They came to greet you so that you don't get upset, you don't get hurt, that you don't lose. This is the idea, my friend. They come there for you. This is Allah's doing. Allah's doing that. Why? Because He said, you know, you played the game. This is the idea behind it. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
But some people ask this question all the time. Say, Maulana, you say these things, right? But you see, all of these things are about akhirah. How about here in this life? We have issues here. We have problems here. How do we solve them here? How do we attain happiness here? What should we do then? My friends, first let me tell you this, right? There are certain places where you find happiness. There are certain places you cannot find happiness. To look for something in the wrong place, you will never find it. You know? I don't know if you have heard about Mullah Nasruddin. You heard about him, right? Okay, Mullah Nasruddin is a mythical, you know, Islamic comic figure, you know? This Mullah Nasruddin one time was outside on the street looking for his keys. You know, he was looking under the street lamp. He was looking there. So someone who knew Mullah Nasruddin, a friend of his, came and said, Mullah, what are you looking for? He said, I lost my keys, I'm looking for it. So he started helping Mullah look for the keys under the street lamp, outside. And they were looking. He said, Mullah, listen, I can't find these keys. Are you? We looked around everywhere. Last 15 minutes, we looked around everywhere. Where do you lose your keys? He said, in the house. In the house? So why are we looking here? Oh, there's no light in the house. Looking here is easier. Sometimes what happens, we look for things in the wrong places. And we're never going to find it, no matter how much we search for it. No matter how much we strive for it. Allah, the idea is that happiness is meant for akhirat. You can only find it there. You try to find it here, you can try as much as you want, you will never find it. As Imam Ali said, happiness in this dunya always comes with bitterness. And sadness always comes with happiness. It's never permanent. If you're feeling happy and smiling one day, then just think about this, that tomorrow I'm going to be upset, something's going to happen to me. You know, this is the reality of life. This is it. So don't get too happy here. You don't need to get too sad also. Because you know what, it's all going to come to an end and you will wake up from this horrible nightmare and you will wake up and you will thank Allah, that thank you Allah for taking me away from this horrible nightmare I was having. Now I can relax and breathe easier. This is the idea, my friends. Success. How much time do you have left?
10 minutes.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
People here are trying to teach how to be happy here in this dunya. I don't know, have you ever been to these success seminars? How to be successful? You know, how to be happy in life? There are actually seminars that are being offered, you know, and people pay money to go there. Obviously, if you pay that money, you better be happy at the end. You pay that much money. I paid that much, I better be happy so I come out smiling because it's worth it. I paid $200 for it, you know, for a smile. So when you go there, what do they teach you? They say, listen, if you have problems, here's what you do. Smile. Like that, smile. like that. Really, is this a human way of attaining happiness or is this a monkey being trained to smile? Monkeys also train if you teach them tricks. You know? And if we human beings are going to be like animals trying to fake a smile and truly inside we are depressed, what kind of happiness is that? That's not a human attainment. That's not a human achievement. And this is why we need to look greater and beyond that. What is it? This is why Allah says, listen, happiness is not here. True happiness is when you find your true place, and that is in Jannah. That's where the happiness is. So until here, I just spoke about the height of life. I just want to go on to the width of life. Explain it a little bit today, and tomorrow will be the last, hopefully the last night we have here. And inshallah, you know, we'll try to explain it tomorrow, and inshallah conclude the whole series, right? Just a little bit I explained today with the loud salawat. Okay, what is the width of life? We explained about the length of life, which is how long it is going to be, and that's eternal. We explained about the height of life, which is infinite, and we have to attain it in this dunya, in the short life we live here. We attain it here. Now, what is the width of life? Width of life, my friends, is your capacity to take in things, your ability to make use of things. This is the width of life. Just let me explain to you a little bit regarding it and the restrictions that we have. Because the idea of width is that here in this dunya is restricted. Right? How much can you eat? Are you hungry right now? Yes, you're hungry, right? Now. Yes. So now, if I give you a bucket of food, and you're hungry, man, go ahead, take it. Would you be able to eat it? He said, no, no, only a plate. No, no, let's take the whole tray. You know, it's chula kebab. Take a whole tray of kebab. Now you eat one, you eat two, three, four, and after five you'll be like, okay, you know what? That's enough for me. My friends, you can't, right? There's limitation you have. You're restricted. You can't eat everything. You want to. You know, you can, I can eat a cow. But can you actually eat a cow? Well, you can. You're restricted here, how much you can do. Why is this limitation there in this dunya? Why are we limited in our capacity to utilize the blessings of Allah? Allah can give us a lot here, but how much can we use here? Nothing. But let me just explain with an example, and inshallah I'll explain this more tomorrow, alright? One example, understand this, it's interesting. If you send a loud salawat. You know, I took someone who just came from overseas, you know, to watch my son play basketball. Right? So we go there, you know, to watch my son play basketball, and he sees that, you know, here are these people, there's one ball and 10 people are running after it. 10 people are running after one ball and he feels bad for them. So what he does is that he goes and buys 9 other balls and says, here, you can all play now. You don't have to run after one ball. And they look at him and say, what? What's this? He said, here, now everyone has a ball. You can all play with your own ball and you don't have to worry about any other ball. You don't have to run after each other. I feel bad for you. And he throws the ball in between. Now tell me. They'll say, listen, but the idea of the game, or the game takes shape when there's lack of balls, when there's a shortage of balls. If everyone has a ball, it won't be a game. It would be training. But when you want to have a game, you need to have shortage so that everyone runs after it. And then it becomes a game. In all aspects, whether it's football, soccer, any game that you take, the game takes shape and form when there's shortage of balls, when there's shortage of supplies. Everyone has to run after that one. If everyone has their own balls, then it doesn't become a game. The reason why Allah has made shortage in this dunya, there's shortage in this dunya of everything. He didn't make it enough for everyone. He could have. There's no lack with him. He is generous. But the idea of us being in a game would be finished. Running after that one goal and that one objective will be finished. The whole idea in this dunya that Allah has kept shortage is because it is competitive. Competition starts when there is shortage. If there's no shortage, there's no competition. And if there's no competition, there's no aspiration for excellence. And if there's no aspiration for excellence, then no one will ever reach the intended goal for which they were created. This is why Allah has kept everything short here in this dunya. Limited. It's limited here. Never give everyone all the things. Now, he could have made everyone millionaires. If you were all millionaires, who would ask for each other? We're all millionaires. And if you're all millionaires, then where would generosity come in? Right? Where would zakat come in? Where would compassion come in? You see, all of these attributes of greatness, qualities of greatness, only happen when we see that the other person doesn't have. There's a shortage, and we are striving for excellence. That's where it comes from. My friends, the shortage, Allah has made shortage purposely in this dunya, so that there's competition. When there's competition, then there's that striving for excellence. That's what Allah wanted from us. Strive to be the best that you can be. So I make it limited here. This is how I become. This is the game. That's why Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَحْوًا وَاللَّهِ. This life of this dunya is only a game. Don't take it too seriously. It's only a game. That's it. Rules of games apply here. And that's how Allah is explaining this to us in the Quran. This is something that we need to understand in order to benefit from life, my friends. Those people who live life, don't understand life, there are always people who are upset at the smallest things that happen to them. I got into an accident, that's it, my whole day is ruined. Why is your whole day ruined? Oh, look at my car. So, what are you upset for? Is your happiness amount of this car? That's it? You lost your happiness just because of the car? You're worth more than that. Much more than that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths, wisdom to understand His guidance, haste in the reappearance of our Imam, make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Salawat ala Muhammad. I guess we have a few more minutes, so if anyone has any questions. Any questions? All right, just to repeat from yesterday, right, regarding the issue of zakat, zakatul fitr, right? Zakatul fitr is wajib on you, it's $10 a person, for every person in the household, and you give the zakat on the night of, from the night of Eid al-Fitr till the prayer time. If you come here to the masjid tomorrow night, it doesn't change anything. You still have to pay your zakat. Right? You still have to pay your zakat just like as if you're staying in your house. It doesn't matter. So this idea that if you come to the masjid, then the masjid will have to pay for your zakat, it is not right. Alright? One thing. And hopefully, you know, we'll be watching the moon tomorrow night, and in the places it could be seen in America. And inshallah, we'll keep you updated of what happens tomorrow night. And, most probably, I would think that Sunday will be Eid if the moon is sighted. Yes?
I have a question because we live in all that. Some Ahli Sunnah, they say we are Muslim, we can eat, make it anything from his hand. But I saw them when they buy fried chicken, they say when you make it Bismillah, they get halal.
You can't do that.
My, it's a big difference because some say if you have a Muslim shopkeeper, you can buy anything. They say halal is halal. But we living with them, we fasting with them, we work with them. They buy fresh chicken, they say, if you make a Bismillah, they get halal.
Whoever says that, he doesn't know what Sunni Islam is.
No, all most of them is
yeah, most of them praying, right?
Praying, because of the ignorance and everything.
Yeah, because of the ignorance about their own faith, right? There's a misunderstanding because some people think that they are very smart. They can read an ayat and they can see what Allah is saying is halal and haram. There's an ayat in the Quran that says if you don't, you know, for example, if you take the name of Allah, then it's halal, you know. So they take that ayat and they say, well, you know, you can take any meat and say Bismillah and it will be halal for you to eat because you said Bismillah on hand. And they think that's the only condition for making it halal. Now, the issue here comes in this way, there are two things. If you ask them, what is halal? Halal is any animal that is allowed for you to eat. A goat, a cow, any animal that's allowed for you to eat is called a halal animal. What question you should ask is that, is this dhabiha halal? Is this dhabiha? Dhabiha means to slaughter it out in the manner that Islam has said. When you slaughter it in the manner that Islam has said, this is called dhabiha. So when you want to ask someone halal, don't say, is it halal? Halal means, okay, it's a cow. Say Bismillah, eat it. That's what they say. Say, is it dhabiha or not? Right? Is it dhabha or dhabiha? Then they'll say, no, it's not dhabiha. Okay, for us, dhabiha is what we can eat, not what's halal. Right? Halal as the means that the animal's flesh is halal. Finish, that's it. What you need to ask them is this dhabiha or not? Is it slaughtered Islamically? If you say so, then you know, according to our fiqh, we don't eat it. Sorry.
I know, but our salah says, if your Muslim brothers, you know, if you go his home,
if they go according to their rules, right? If they do not practice the rules, then you cannot. Meaning the rules of Sunni Islam in their way of slaughtering, right? Which you can ask any alim amongst the Sunnis and he will say that yes, you have to slaughter it, you have to cut it, then it will become halal for you to eat. But the imams of these masjids, Dr. So-and-so, Engineer so-and-so, have no clue about Islam. And they make up these rulings for the people, hey, this is my Quran, you know, it's halal because Allah says that in the Quran. And they have no clue what Islam says. If you ask the alim, their mufti, they will tell you that no. Right? Except for the except for those mufti who are, you know, muftkhor, you know. Yeah, muftkhor. Wahhabi. Mufti, you know. Leave them alone. Inshallah. Alright. Yes.
No.
Okay, inshallah. You can ask me inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.